Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Fairies, come take me out of this dull world, for I would ride with you upon the wind, run on the top of disheveled tide, and dance upon the mountains like a flame. O cloud-pale eyelids, dream-dimmed eyes, the poets laboring all their days, to build a perfect beauty in rhyme, are overthrown by a woman's gaze. What do these two quotes have in common? Well, they come from Irish senator, as well as Nobel Prize-winning poet and writer-author William Butler Yeats, who, while he was an Irish senator, admitted freely and openly that he completely believed in fairies and that they are real and that they exist. My name is Daniel Michael. You're listening to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet. We will be back in just a moment. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet. My name is Daniel Michael, and I am the founder and co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. Tonight's topic is the fairy realms and wisdom that can be drawn from the fairy realms. And I see that Darren Bouquet is in the queue. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. We have lots of callers on the line as well. Welcome, Darren.
Hello. Hello, Daniel Michael. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. And you?
Marvelous, marvelous, very good, very good. I had a very interesting, mystical, inventive, enriching day, so it's been wonderful.
And any opinions on William Butler Yeats? I always found it interesting that here is a, I always thought he had a sort of hermetic or mercurial quality. He was a contemporary of Aleister Crowley, was not particularly fond of Crowley, but he himself was a mystic, but he could move in and out and blend, whereas Crowley was the rebel, you know, that stood out like a sort of. But Yeats was the sort of, he could blend in with regular society and sort of still kind of secretly be this mystic with the Order of the Golden Dawn. And I think that makes him interesting as well.
Well, I what I like about him was that he had much of the Lord Byron spirit. You know, he wanted to deal with aristocracy. He wanted to be that really prominent poet and author, and but at the same time integrate mythic themes, the fae, spirits, the banshee, you know, stuff like that. I mean, he definitely brought to light some of the darker aspects of spirituality and kind of just put a spotlight on them a little bit through his writing. So I think that he's one of the, you know, most interesting. I love characters like this in history, you know, that remind us that there is a world that's a little bit visceral and scary and something we don't understand, and we're going to be that person, that popular author or that popular poet, and you're going to read this and be challenged by the text and by the content that they provide, so... I think that I'm sure he had experiences with the fae. And I mean, I can't be sure, but...
Right. And I think what makes him interesting was his ability to also blend in with the mainstream. Now, some people, like Crowley, would see that more as sort of a sellout type, because he believed in that sort of libertine rebellion. But Yeats, I think, believed in, like I said, a bit more mercurial, blending and shifting and bending and doing what he had to do, because he did have great work and he wanted to get it. He didn't want to be such the rebel that Crowley and some other maybe renegade chaos types were. He wanted to make it and blend it in with everyday life and with, like you said, like, and be the well-known poet and be the senator and all that. So I think that makes him every bit as interesting in his own way as some of the renegade mystics like Crowley.
I mean, I can relate to that more. You know, I don't see why. Now, granted, you could have this wonderful, like, inner sect of people that are experimenting and trying to create a, you know, homunculi and do all this, you know what I mean, do all this stuff. But I think trying to enrich the populace, to be on the summer reading list for people that are taking English 2 in a community college, I think that's beautiful. I mean, I think that is changing people's lives. Write some obscure book called The Book of Lies that random people that are largely nihilistic want to, like, pick up and, like, I'm sure that changes lives, too. But I'm leaning more towards bringing the idea that there's elemental magic or fairies or restless spirits into something into a text that you would have to read anyway. You know, for children or adults or whoever's taking a class like that, that has to get into, like, you know, British or Irish literature, that they have to say, okay, this is something that may be relevant. That's what I love about Lord Byron. Lord Byron picked, like, the most ridiculous topics by his contemporaries. Were like, what is going on with this guy? But, you know, and again, he had a crazy, ridiculously, you know, hedonistic lifestyle, too.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care.
And again, I'm not even saying it disrespectfully in any way to Crowley, because he was a difficult and complicated person who was a groundbreaking mystic. But the reason I was making the comparison and bringing it up in the first place, because they actually were contemporaries that were actually in the same organization, the Order of the Golden Dawn. And so that's why I use Crowley as a comparison. So look at the two amazingly different approaches for two people in the same magical secret order. Is, I think, kind of just a fascinating sociological
study. But Crowley had his own, as you know, as the years went on, he developed his own.
He had his own,
you know, so that's where he went a little bit off the reservation on his own path, and I think, you know, Yeats is known as you know, a treasure to the country he was born in.
The difference between the two, but they were doing the same a while anyway, for a time. They were in the same occult practice, doing the same magical rituals. But
yeah, and I'm sure there's some
necessarily
that would be shocked by that statement you just made.
What's that?
I'm sure there's tons of people, literary enthusiasts, students, just adults, that would be shocked to hear that he was in the OTO and the Golden Dawn and all that stuff. That they would be pretty amazed by that, and they might even, like, spur them to look up what the hell is this Golden Dawn. So, like, you know, they might want to know what it is.
And not to be mistaken with other groups called the Golden Dawn, but I know this debate could go on for 5 hours. But I'm just saying, you know, like anything else or any other practice in life, individuals bring what they bring to something. And Yeats was a little more reverent, I think, and a more mercurial, as I said, wanted to blend it in with everyday life and thought it was beautiful and wanted to share it. Crowley wanted to pioneer a new version of it and come up with his own, you know, sort of daring
it's
version.
It's the story of hubris again and again. That's what we're looking at. It's the story of I have discovered some sort of power and I wield it and I control it. You know, and then you have someone like Yeats who said, you know, I discovered some sort of power, and, you know, let me venerate it, let me examine it, and let me share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. And Darren, we have
I think on some level Crowley did that as well, but then he...
Yes.
You know.
He wasn't all bad.
I don't...
Nothing's all bad, right? I mean, he was just, in his own way, he was a dedicated holy man. And on the other hand, he was kind of a... self-oriented scoundrel that was known to be rude to the help as a spoiled rich boy, you know? So, you know, which guy was he to which person?
There's so many wonderful things about him, and there's so many very vile things about him. So you and I bring his, we come across his name, I'm always a little bit like, it's just, it's kind of something where you can run in circles with for a while because you can talk. There's so many, really, him pushing the boundaries really opened it up for somnambulists, for magicians, ceremonial magic, and so, I mean, like, it really,
he was
like the Alice Cooper of that sort of thing. You know, I mean, that's great.
He literally brought yoga to the West.
Right.
Anyway, Darren, we have a lot of people on the phone, and I know we have a topic as well, the fairy realm.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do just a brief intro to the fairy realm topic?
I just want to say that fairy gates, fairy doorways, fairy roads, something believed to be very, very prevalent in Scandinavia, very prevalent in the United Kingdom, Northern England, Ireland, Scotland, it's something that people just really feel is very relevant, and they actually avoid and really take seriously the fact that you know, taking a misstep in a certain area may put you into the realm of fae. Being in the realm of fae can certainly, you know, the time is not concurrent with our time, so you could be stuck in there for a couple minutes and then, you know, come out and all your family is aged dramatically, and then you'll get to know your grandchildren and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's something that I think that when we look at that sort of really vibrant quality of the stories we have in folklore, in poetry, and literature, to go on a trip into the land of fae is to be honored, be gifted with all kinds of wonderful food, treasure, and some of the most wondrous, like, happy-go-lucky company that you could ever imagine. Some tales tell of the most exquisite pain and despair as well. So it's all this wrapped up into a big burrito, and then if you happen to be able to come back, which some are never heard from again, if you happen to return, you will be displaced, you will be confused, and you will be, you know, kind of a lot younger than most people. So that's as far as the stories go and as far as anything that we have on written down. The people that interact with fairies that have come through, that's a whole other story, and that's where we have some, you know, instances of fairy helpers, fairy friends, fairy lovers, fairy, you know, so that's, that gateway in between is the nexus that we really, I think it's, if we're going to examine the fae and their effect on what we have in, as far as, like, a, you know, in our reality and what's known and what's historically recorded, we have to examine the doorway between the two realms.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's all sorts of different worlds and countries and things inside the other, on the other side as well. Do I believe in it? Yes, I do. I believe in all sorts of, you know, the idea and the thought process behind it. Something else is out there, other dimensions, other corridors, and we do get glimpses of it, and it's very relevant to us. Do we need to make it so relevant that we kind of run around talking to, like, daffodils and stuff? No. But we can certainly leave ourselves open to the idea that there's other nuances of worlds out there, and we can touch them given the right circumstance.
And when you mentioned about the disappearing, one of the old fairy legends is that they would take children away for a little while, and they would children would sometimes be returned, sometimes they'd disappear forever. I remember that is one of the old fairy legends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of callers here, Darren, so let's go ahead and take one and start with the callers, and I will let everybody know. I see a few of you there. Some of you have been waiting a little while here. I'm going to start with 207 and then 847, and then it looks like 609 after that. So 207, welcome. You're on the air with Darren Bouquet.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? How's everything with you?
Very nice. Very nice. It's kind of a nice, relaxing day. What's your name?
Tom in Maine.
Tom, okay. Have you called him before, Tom?
Yes, I have a few times.
Mm-hmm.
2 months back.
Did you have a concern or any thoughts about the entering the fairy realm or doorways into the fairy realm? Anything thoughts on that?
Well, fairies play a significant part in our family. We always put food and fruit out for them and leftovers. Mm-hmm. And around the holidays, you know, a little special something like beer and ale and some candy.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
We believe they like all that, and someone takes it, whether it's them or the wildlife, I don't know. But we believe in them. My daughter does heavily, too.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, I think that's great. And have you ever felt like there's any sort of, like, really wonderful luck or anything kind of integrated into this experience with kind of having that relationship with them?
Not really a relationship. I often, you know, talk to nature when I'm out in the woods just out loud, like whoever's out to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one that's always talking out loud anyway. Even, you know, people think I'm talking to myself sometimes, but sometimes when I'm out in the woods, I'm not. Or out in nature or even on my
property. Whether it be fairies or just nature itself or the woods or you know, the elements, you're just communicating with that same energy.
Exactly. Because I do believe, you know, like even the spirits have, the trees have spirit in them. You know, I think that's why we knock on wood sometimes, is from an old belief that wood has spirit.
Wow, yeah. You know what? It's something I never thought about, but that makes total sense. What did you say, Daniel Michael?
Absolutely. Interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. It's like to almost tell nature, like, hey, I just said something and I believe it to be true. Please don't make it not true. Like, please don't come around and screw me up on that one.
That's right. You know? Really.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a lot of luck in my life.
Beautiful. We'll see. There you go.
Just to say it's the Irish blood in me, but I think it's more than that. It has to be, you know.
And you're leaving offerings and you're communicating with nature. So to me, that's really not a big mystery. You know, anyone that takes their spirituality serious will be blessed in one form or fashion. And that does not mean, and I see it all the time with me, I go through trials, I have situations, but I'm constantly leaving offerings and cycling in all sorts of elemental energy and you know, really high monotheistic energy too. But I still occasionally have to deal with something that's really annoying. And, you know, you've got to learn from that. But for the most part, I'm a very blessed person, so that's good. And that's what you're saying as well.
Exactly. Whether it's spirits or fairies or nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like, hey, I'm out here part of you now, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm always out here. You know me, you know.
Well, that's when I started studying polytheism, and I've told this story on the show before, but I was reading a book about the Western paganism and the neo movement of it and the Christianization of different older cultures. And it was all about the author, you know, she stepped out in the woods and, you know, she'd been raised born again Christian, but she just kept feeling really connected to the woods. And then she found a rock on the ground and it had a stag's head carved into it. And she looked at the rock and she looked at the trees and she felt really at peace. And she felt like somebody was communicating with her. And then this 10-point stag just kind of came out of the woods and, like, looked her dead in the eye and just kind of sat there silently for, like, a minute. And then they looked at each other, and then he just went on his way. And she felt, you know what? That's the representation of spirit, of deity that I can relate to. And that's what the author talked about. And I was like, wow, that makes sense to me.
Yes,
you know?
Definitely. Well, it's like we used to live in Pennsylvania. We had a house for 13, 14 years, and we would always find arrowheads on the ground. And when we moved out of that, we lost the house to foreclosure, And it took us 2 years for them to finally get us out, you know, to serve us with the papers, because it was a USDA loan, and they took us, they just took their time with it, you know. So in those 2 years, the house actually started to deteriorate. It just started to fall apart, kind of crumble in on us. I had made, someone told me, a spiritualist told me to make a cross out of some of the sticks and twigs that were on the ground from the property, make
there
a cross and put it up in the front of the house. Up on, so I put it at the highest peak of the front of the house. That fell off the week that we moved. The whole cabinetry inside in the kitchen just started to fall in and just come apart. And with that, arrowheads were abundant all over the property. So we just started to collect them. You know,
did that energy shore up the house so that you had more structural integrity?
Excuse me?
Did that energy from the nature around the house shore up its structural integrity?
I believe it did. I also believe that it followed with us when we did move from PA to Maine. And it was definitely, you know, in our last house before we owned this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of energy in this house, too. A lot of good energy.
I think that it's very, very important to honor the local spirit of wherever you're at. And whether it be, you know, if you want to do it from a Christian aspect or from just a polytheistic aspect or a nature-based aspect. You know, I've mentioned this on the show before, but I did this whole kind of verbal agreement with Northern Virginia, and I said, like, I want to be connected to the lakes and the trees, and I want to say that I will honor you if you honor me, and I had nothing but abundance in Northern Virginia the 5 months before I left. So it was really beautiful.
Yes.
And that's when I met Darren.
And that's when I met Daniel Michael, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That spell or that prayer, that was a fairy prayer. And it was a prayer that the fae say, because they make agreements with all of these elements, with the rocks and the sunlight and the sunshine and the, you know, the sky and all this stuff. So making that agreement, he likes to claw through my cat's fingers. You know, making that agreement. So you made that agreement with your dead land around your house. By making that, the twigs and the whole thing?
Yes, definitely. And we used our property. I mean, we enjoyed the property. We enjoyed the house. We laughed so much in that house. It brought so much life to that property that we felt the change in the property and the
you
house
reactivated
from
it.
When we first moved in.
I think you reactivated the land. You said, we're people and we're not here to suck energy. We're here to bring energy. And the land responded.
Right. Right. Like someone told us that the house we're in now is very sad, but every time that we make an improvement on it, it brings more life and happiness into the structure and the land. And I can see that. I can feel that.
If you work with what's given to you by nature, then nature will work back. If you fight it, that's why I tell people all the time, I hate where we live, or I hate this, and I hate that. I just don't. First of all, hate is like the worst emotion, but like second of all, throwing negative energy out to the place where you stay and you sleep and you rest your head at night, not a good idea. I'm saying, you know, at least respect the fact that you need to be there for however long, and just own that energy, you know. So
that's an interesting point.
I have to mention that once a week sometimes.
Yes, and we look at it this way. We were placed here by the universe and by the guides and spirits and angels and whatever entity you believe in. Mm-hmm. We were put here and placed here by them, so it must be for our benefit.
Yeah, life is a gift. I don't know. I've heard a lot about, today I'm just doing a lot of consistent meditation lately, and I'm So a lot of hearing a lot of Indian philosophy lately, but you know, living in the present—that's like my big thing lately. Is just like live in the present and own the positive energy that you're gifted with now. And life is a gift, so just appreciate it. And looking to the future, and looking to the past, and saying this is what went wrong in the past, and these are my anxieties about that. And looking to the future and saying this is what I don't have, and this is what I need. And just constantly thinking of that is it can really cycle yourself into some negative energy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Did you have repercussions? Were you curious about a reading tonight, Tom?
Yes, I was, as a matter of fact. I did want to kind of give validation and a little input about the last time I called, the
mm-hmm.
main subject with me was that from you was that I have to supplement my
your student focus.
The money that I have coming in each month, and
right.
I have to supplement that. And I tried so hard to find a job. I looked everywhere. I found one day, and
okay.
it paid very, very, very well.
Perfect.
And the other night,
where are you again?
In Maine, northern Maine.
In Maine, okay. And that can be that. And I know because I lived in Burlington, Vermont, and I know that there were only so many jobs out there. There's only, and Burlington's a big place for that area, you know, so that's, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And, you know, there's not too much work up here, but when you do find it, it's probably for a department store or a family-owned company.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, I did happen to have a card reading last Thursday night, and
mm-hmm.
the cards showed me that I was going to find work very, very soon. They said, like, within a matter of weeks. And the next day, I found work, and it worked out that it wasn't just a day job. They told me to start Monday permanently. As, you know, as long
okay.
as, yeah, as long
so
as
so this
last.
Really did come full circle, and you have a consistent income now. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Good.
Beautiful.
You remember, Tom, I think you got a reading from me a few months ago where it was either me or Kevin, and we said it'll probably be a few months. I don't know if you remember that from one
of
the Wednesdays.
That's right. I do. I remember walking the loft upstairs listening to you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So your question
is
what exactly? What do you think?
I just wanted to know, what do you see down the road for me?
Okay.
You know,
right.
Within the next...
Red or orange?
Red.
Red, okay. All right. So what do we see coming up for Tom moving forward? Okay. What do we see coming up for Tom moving forward? One moment, please. Okay. All right. Yikes. Okay. What are you getting involved with interpersonally right now? Like, what's going on with you socially?
Nothing socially.
Okay.
Just Facebook. Right. You know, Facebook. I'm
yeah.
always on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. I said this before, I think, a little while ago. I think you need, like, a male friend or somebody to kind of just hang out with a little bit. Okay?
That would be a positive thing in my life, yes.
You need that. I just see depression, and I just see... Three of
yeah,
swords and the nine of swords and the ten of wands, which is just, like I said, the future, weighing yourself down with things that you deem to be unassailable challenges. You know, your academic prowess and your professional prowess are there. You just have to own it and believe it. Now, even when you're validated and people say, wow, we're really happy with you, you're still worried about the future because you're constantly putting that under the microscope So you don't need to do that. So I'm going to ask, I just got the Ace of Pentacles. That's the seed for a money tree. That's the acorn. So you plant the acorn in the ground, and then a couple, year and a half from now, you'll get a money tree. And then you can start to pick money off of it, which is something that I believe just happened from what you just said, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. This is something that I don't know what you're doing exactly, but it's something you can build into kind of something that you can have as a vocation while you're pursuing some of your academic goals and the professional life that those are going to bring to fruition. But I'll tell you what, this can be something that you'll always have in the background and you can keep with you for a very long time in the course of your life. So I think that it's a positive. Do not discount how important what you're doing is right now. I think it's a real positive. Hold on, let me ask about. There's got to be a way to integrate you with the community at large a little bit more. I don't know. Have you tried a dating site at all?
Excuse me?
Have you ever tried a dating site at all or something like that?
I'm married.
Oh, you're married. Okay.
Yes,
well, then what's going, because I get heartache here. I mean, I just asked you who you're, so there's a lot. What's happening with you two right now? I mean, should I not ask you, or? It looks heavy, and you need to either figure it out, or you need to figure out how to add to each other in a positive way. Because right now there's a lot of heartache, and then there's a lot of frustration, and then there's a lot of weight on your shoulders. So maybe somebody's pressuring you to make changes. Maybe somebody expects more from you. Maybe somebody is not being supportive of you and your needs.
Well, I have support.
Okay.
I would say that I do need a male friend because I have female friends, but I always get in trouble with that.
And I get in trouble. Male friends are good. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that was a message from my spirit guide that you needed a male friend, by the way.
Yeah.
So
and
I have a direct
no message. Friend.
I didn't know how to I didn't know what was going on. But when I see the Nine of Swords and then the Three of Swords, to me, that's pretty cut and dry that somebody is upsetting you. Something is upsetting. And so I asked you who you were interrelating with. And, of course, it's you know, you and your wife, you have to just maybe spend a little, maybe, you know, you need to spend a little time and do your own thing and have your own little, you know, your time to yourself on some levels. Maybe your own stuff to do outside of the relationship, maybe. That can always be positive because, you know, absence makes the heart fonder, you know, and if it's just like, you know, going out for the night and maybe go bowling. You know, I know they have bowling in Maine. I know that's got to be, right?
There's no bowling alleys up here, and my wife and I don't do anything together.
Well, I know. There's some stuff you guys need to work out. I mean, you need to cycle in a lot more positive energy into your day-to-day reactions, interactions. I think that some of your flaws are highlighted in the relationship, and that doesn't need to really happen all the time. And I think that you need to be your happiness and your, you know, you need to be given something to look forward to in the relationship too. Whether or not that be physical or just going out and having a fun time, you guys need to do that stuff.
That makes a lot of sense.
Don't you agree, Daniel, Michael?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of, on instinct or intuition, a lot of, go out, go out, go out. And I often get that when Tom, he's called before, as we mentioned. And before it was go out and make sure you find help, a partner and a job and things like this. By that I meant friend. And I'm still getting that now. Like don't get stuck in the routine and don't get stuck of being someone, even if it's with your wife, like just sitting in the house. Now, I'm not preaching, I'm just saying that's the feeling I get, and I've gotten that just about every time you've called, is be out in the world a little more and keep doing that and have fun and enjoy the world.
Again, same thing. There's a morose quality to what's happening in your energy. And it's very heavy. And it needs to change. So I know you're in Maine. I know it gets cold. But if I have some stuff to do, I don't care if you got to go chase woodchucks or whatever you guys do. You know what I mean? Go get a crossbow.
Spontaneous.
Do stuff. I don't know.
Do something fun and spontaneous. Maybe with your wife or maybe
yeah,
dinner.
Spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you. I agree.
Let's see. Okay, good. MV the magician. The magician is in control of everything in his life, the physical aspects. So, I hate to say this, but get some control of your day-to-day at home, too. Take control back a little bit. Make yourself happy. Now, if it means you just clear the room out and you want to play Twister in the room, then go ahead. You need to control your day needs to be about stuff that you want to do on some level. And if it's not, then it needs to change. So that's your card to focus on, I would say, is the magician. If you're confused about what the magician relates to, Google it, Wikipedia, and that is your card to focus on for the next, I would say, month, is the magician. You need to be the magician.
The good card, too.
Because the other cards I got were the Nine of Swords and the Three of Swords and the Ten of Wands, and that's like I have too much shit on my back. I don't know what to do. I don't have any time for myself. The Nine of Swords is despair, and the Three of Swords is sorrow, and then I got the One of Pentacles, which means, okay, you got this job that's going to start making you money, great, but other than that, that's a lot to deal with.
Finding something productive to do with my time, because I'm
But no, it doesn't need to be productive, it needs to be fun.
You're doing productive stuff,
you need fun stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
We all do.
You know what I used to do? I used to go to thrift stores and buy a set of plates, like, from the 70s. I mean, get them for, like, $3, all these plates and coffee mugs and all kind of, like, glass. And I'd just go outside and take a ball peen hammer and smash them. Just to be crazy. And you know what? You release a lot of stuff. Release a lot of your anxieties. Really just smash the crap out of them. So,
yeah.
Do that all. It sounds wacky, but trust me. Do it once and you'll be shocked. You'll be like, wow, this is awesome. Now, granted, you got to clean them up. I remember it was snowing one time I did that, and I couldn't see, and my hands were so cold I cut my hand on one of the pieces, but I didn't care. You know why? Because it's fun. It's cathartic. You're releasing a lot. So I would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's such a screw you to, like, the world at large because it's just something that makes no sense, but that's okay because it makes sense to you. Or maybe to me, but, that's my thing. But anyway, thanks for calling in. You know, it sounds like you're kind of on an upward kind of slant. So let us know what happens in a couple weeks, in a month or something.
I sure will.
Okay?
I'll give you a call
in
a month.
Calling in, Tom.
Okay, have a good night. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Tom. It's really, really good to see progress with him because he called in and things were the same. And I did a reading for him. I said it's going to be a few months, I think, but start looking for a secondary income. And then he called you, and you said the same exact thing, and now he has one. You know, so that was
progress. I love to see progress. That's like my main thing, you know. And some people, because they're sometimes negative, they will fail to see the progress when it's so obvious that there's progress. I'll say, you didn't have a job before, now you have a job. And they're like, well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, no, I guess so. You have a job, you know, and it's great. And then when you remind them that something positive just happened, it's like, whoa, snap, yes, something positive just happened.
So that's a nice confirmation. It also makes me feel good about what I'm doing readings on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you never know, because sometimes these folks, they don't call back. Some people do. And speaking of which, let's take another call. We have 847. He's been waiting a whopping 53 minutes.
Oh, wow,
thank
yeah, let's take
847, and welcome to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare.
Hi, this is Jill.
Hello, Jill.
Welcome, Jill.
How are you?
I can ask a question.
Okay. Have I talked to you before?
It's been a while. Yes,
it's
you
have. It's been a while. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
but whatever you said, you were right on the money.
I was right on the money? Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Was it a? Right. Did I give you positive news?
You told me it wasn't positive or negative. You just just said it, like you gave me clarity, or you validated what I already, you know, what I needed to hear, or what I suspected.
Well, at any rate, I hope it was helpful in those in those coming weeks or months, so that way you knew what was happening.
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. So, have you ever experienced walking into the gateway into the realm of fairy before?
No, but, you know, my friend did. A really good friend of mine was living in New Mexico, and she was sitting outside, and she saw a fairy, and it surprised her. And this fairy saw her and was surprised by seeing her. They both were, you know, they were both like, oh, you know, and she like.
So your friend saw a fairy, and it was like.
In New Mexico.
Did she describe it, or was it like a floating, or was it like a small person, or did she describe
like
it
to you? Like a small person.
Wow. This is really. Now, here's me. I'm just like, you know, throwing that out there because that's the theme tonight. But you actually had a really amazing fairy story. So it saw.
Yeah.
It saw her. Was there? Did they have a sex with a male or female, or just a smaller person?
No, I think she said it was a female because she said she was just as surprised to see me as I was to see her.
Oh. Oh wow, that's so cool. So a female, kind of a, like a small person.
Yes.
And she could sense there was something different or magical about it.
Yes.
Wow. And this is in New Mexico?
Yes. Up in, like, the Madrid area, you know, kind of a little south of Santa Fe. Out, it's kind of out more in the country.
Santa Fe, that's a, you know, there's a lot of vortexes out there and stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, a lot.
That's amazing.
Madrid is like an old coal mining town.
You know what I work with sometimes? I have this, my friend brought me a big metal jar of dirt from the vortex in Sedona. So
yeah, I have some of that.
I'm doing a cleansing sometimes. I have people kind of put their hand in it. They're trying to gauge their energy a little bit, just kind of see what's going on with them sometimes. It's pretty amazing. So, wow, that's really interesting. Did anything occur after that, or did it just was like kind of a quick, like I see.
It was a quick
thing.
They just went, when they saw each other, because neither one of them was expecting it.
Oh. Okay, wow. That's amazing. And so, you know what, and I have the other couple of stories that I have that are really like, this has really happened stories about fairies. They're kind of like that. They're like, oof, you know, like, ah, and then, you know, and then that's
right.
By the time you even register what's going on, the fairy's gone.
Right.
I think your dog's seeing a fairy now.
What was your query for this evening?
I'm
going
sorry.
On?
What was that? I'm trying to
what
get my dog.
What was your question this evening, or what were you concerned about?
Do you
about
see
tonight?
Me having to move anytime soon or next year, having to move?
Do I see you having to move, to actually get up and have to relocate? Okay. In the next year or so. Okay.
Yes.
Red or orange?
Orange.
Orange, okay. All right, one moment. So we want to ask if Jill's going to have to relocate in the next year or so for any reason that she's unbeknownst to her. One moment. Where are you? Because that helps me kind of cycle into it.
Where am I?
Yeah.
I'm over like a suburb of Chicago, but
okay.
I'm actually 12 miles south of Wisconsin.
Okay. So you're north of Chicago, south of Milwaukee.
I'm north Chicago, actually.
North Chicago. Okay, that's cool. All right. One moment. I used to do readings in Lincoln Park, so I hear you. Okay, hold on one moment.
Okay, yeah, I'm up here by Waukegan.
No, you might. It's you. If you get restless, you have that restless thing, that restless Jill spirit. You know,
okay.
you get interested in stuff, and then everything in your life becomes a different story, meaning it becomes like this whole giant, the whole story changes. you'll meet somebody or they'll be interested in something and you want to kind of get involved with that, and then it's something maybe a little artistic, a little spiritual, and then also professional, and then you can kind of integrate with that, and then suddenly you can do what your normal day-to-day is, but do it somewhere else, and then suddenly everything changes. Do I think that's possible? I think it's highly possible. That's just what I'm getting from my spirit guide. No one will force you out of your place to live, though. That will not
happen. Okay, that's what my sisters are trying to force me out.
No one will, no. Look, what they're trying to do is psychological warfare. Meaning, they're trying to convince you that it would be to your best interest, or that they can actually do something to get you to move if you don't want to. The fact of the matter is there's nothing they can really do if you decide you don't want to go anywhere.
Okay.
Now, this to me is really manipulative for siblings to do, so...
Right, but that's how they are.
I'm a little not impressed by that. I think that, I don't know. You get the short end of the stick between the three of you, or what?
Yes. Well, I'm the youngest, so I'm the scapegoat. I'm the punching bag. Everything's my fault.
You are the scapegoat. I don't like this at all. I'm not happy with this. I think that it's time.
You know, every time there's a problem, it's my fault. Mm-hmm. If I were in Ireland and a picture fell off the wall, they would find a way for it to be my fault because I touched the picture before I left.
Oh, good
Lord. Or they would say. You know what I mean?
I think you need a cycle of madness where you're the scapegoat. I think that you need to, which, by the way, was something dating back to, you know, bringing the goat into the church, which is a real thing, which I always think is funny. But let's see. Hold on. Let me pick it. What should we look for Jill to recognize between the situations? Okay. Oh, good. There's a male person. Is there a male, like a patriarch in your family that's still cognizant?
Not alive.
Not alive. You need to pray to, if it's your dad, if it's whoever it is, and you need to pray, and then whatever message you receive, you need to convey to them, and you say, by the grace of our dad or the grace of, you know, grandpa or whoever it is, because I'm getting the high priest right side up, so it means, or the hierophant, which means that there's male energy that wants to intercede on your behalf, okay?
Okay, was he my
they're
dad?
Bullying, and I don't like it, and it needs to, I think it's a bad thing. It needs to stop. And in the meantime, you should be, because what it does is you're not allowed to ever find your soul's true, you know, you're not allowed to edge out your soul's, what you need for you, because you're always worried about what everyone else, what these two are in slash what,
exactly.
What they're saying to other people about what you should be doing.
Right, and that's happened where it got dangerous, where it went outside the family. And
it
I was physically
not.
Assaulted twice because there was a problem with me when it was never a problem with me.
I hate to say that I'm not surprised, but I don't usually sense this sort of energy between siblings like this. I don't even know. Were you like coddled as the baby when you were younger? I don't know why this even happened. But
what happened,
you know what?
My dad. Okay, my oldest sister. He was so happy he had a child. So she was the favorite. So what my parents did, they ruined her. She wanted to be the only child, so they let her be the only child. So she got everything, got it all. Everything, then they decided they didn't want to make the same mistake with my other sister and I, so they just completely cut us off and we got nothing.
Okay.
So then my older sister's ruined. I got another sister who didn't get anything, and I'm the youngest, which I had more time with my parents because I was young enough that they were in school, and young enough they had moved out and moved on. I was abused in a sense worse than they were. I was the scapegoat, the punching bag. I got the verbal abuse. I got. I'm still paying for my oldest sister. What she does gets taken out on me. Like I owe my other sister for what she didn't get, but I never did anything to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a cycle that needs to stop.
I know.
Very. very adamant that, you know, you, I don't get adamant when I'm doing reading. Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm getting a very strong message that you need to break that cycle, and you can break it in yourself whenever you want, by yourself.
Right.
You don't need their validation to do it.
Right, and well, I'm not passing it down
when you,
to
when
my
you relate
child
to higher
either.
Energy, do you have a good relationship with you know, it could be the goddess energy or, you know, Jesus or Buddha?
Well, that's what helped me survive.
Or,
when I was a kid, I started having spiritual experiences when I was five.
Mm-hmm.
That's what helped me to survive. That's why I'm not like them.
Okay. Well, good. Well, just, I would say, dig into that a little bit. Like I said, I got the high priest, and there's somebody that can maybe, from your ancestors, but also maybe there's someone in your community that you can look up. Okay, maybe take a trip to, like, I can say, when I, one thing I can recommend, go to the Healing Earth in Lincoln Park if you want to take a trip, you know, down the, maybe, you know, say down the Brown Line to, like, Lincoln Park and just go in there. And the lady who owns it, I mean, she will reference you to somebody who can really maybe sit down and,
really?
And spend some time with you or something like that.
What's it called?
The Healing Earth.
Okay, I know them. I used to.
Yeah, I recommend them because I like what, you know, I only did readings there for 2 months. I was, you know, just staying in the North Loop, but I think it's a great place. It's got good energy, and there's probably somebody there who's male that will help you figure things out.
Okay, I know what you, I've been there. Stop it. I used to study with Justin Pomeroy. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was an acupuncturist, palmist.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he's in that area.
Yeah.
And we would always
I think
go to Healing Earth when
it,
we would
I do
go.
A very specific Ayurvedic palm reading, and I think they did mention him to me as
yes.
being involved with the, either the store or that area. And it's rare
right,
that anybody
area.
Does the kind of palm reading I do, so it's something they did bring up, but... Good. Well, I'm excited. Give me a call back and let me know how things kind of, you know, flesh themselves out with your sisters. And remember, they can do nothing to make you move.
Okay.
Without guilting or manipulating you psychologically.
Well, they did have a lawyer send me papers, and I didn't sign for them.
Yeah, that's if you sign it, then that's the problem. Do not sign. Just don't do anything to encourage. And what do the papers say? They want you to exit the
family property
or something?
I don't know. I didn't sign for it. It was like that. I didn't sign it.
Yeah. Just don't, you know what, don't play into their game. Because, unfortunately, and I hate to say that about family, but it just they don't have your best, any of your interests at heart. Not, certainly not
no.
your best, but not any of it, really.
I know.
You've been physically attacked.
Yeah.
You got to look at that.
Yes.
And then let us know, give us a call back in a month to let us know what's happening.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for calling in, Jill. I always appreciate it. Always good to
talk
to you.
Okay, which guy was I talking to?
Darren Bouquer.
There's two of you, right?
Yeah, yes. Daniel Michael is my co-host.
Okay, you're Brian.
Darren.
Darren, that's right. I'm getting your front. I mean your front and your last name confused.
Oh,
yes, because
okay.
you were like right on before, totally. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to hear. It's always good to hear good feedback. I really appreciate
really,
it.
Really, you
the
really
name of the
really
show is Spiritual
were.
Insight with Darren Bouquer. So you can always give me a call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you very
okay.
much for calling in.
Okay. Right. Bye bye.
Thank you, 847. And very quickly, we're going to the next call, but I'm going to do some very brief plugs, and that is that you're listening to Main Street Universe, and Darren Bouquer can be reached on his show, Spiritual Insight, right here that you're listening to, or he can be reached at his email.
To dbouquer, dbucare, and that's at gmail.com, dbucare@gmail.com.
And Darren... Kevin and Jesse, I think, honestly, that our network has some of the best readers on Blog Talk Radio, and it's an interesting thing we do, and we do this as a service and as well as to promote many different things, and we have six shows, and I want to go into those six shows briefly and then get right to the other callers. One of them is, of course, you're listening 7 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday evening, Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet. Monday evenings at 9, sometimes 10 p.m., is Walking on the Sidewalk with Kevin Baird, who's the creator of the Horizon Oracle cards. And he's just come out with a new book, the Horizon Oracle Companion Book. And I encourage people to go to www.templeofgaia.com because it's a really good book. I think it's the best one he's ever done on the instruction on the Horizon Oracle, my primary deck, as well as I do the traditional tarot as well. Now, on Tuesdays, we have the amazing master herbalist, master healer, Susan Weed, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe. I started it with Kevin Baird, and now it's with associate producer and co-host Janice R. White and host Brett Hillman. And it's an interesting show because it's very eclectic, and it's both includes pagans as well as they studying Christian ministers. So we're sort of an interfaith show as well, bringing a uniqueness. And then Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, now she changed it, forgive me, is Queen Mother Imaku with her show Tua'u, and that is about the Kemetic African-Egyptian tradition. And then Fridays is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with Jesse and Nichols George. Let me slow down. I was starting to go too fast. So Jessie has just finished her other two books, which is You, Me, Life, Dreams, and the accompanying workbook. And it's all about relationships. It really is quite good because she has an amazing ability of seeing the energies in different people. So her book is the opposite of Men from Mars, Women from Venus. She's saying that we all have male and female energies, and we're not so really different. Some women are more masculine energy, some men are more feminine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gay, straight, it doesn't matter. We all have different energy levels, and understanding how they work with each other can build a much better and stronger and more positive relationship. So I would say her book buries Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus kind of a book.
Jesse is the bomb diggity. I like to see a lot.
Not from different planets. We're exactly beings of different energy level. So Friday at midnight, I encourage you to listen to that. It really is an interesting book and an interesting show. And then, of course, we have some swing shows, which I won't mention right now, but they come along once a month. Earthlight Radio, one about UFOs. And Mary Phelan's going to return to the network to do a once-a-month show as well. So that is the Main Street Universe Radio Network, about 6, 7, 8, 9 shows. I'm losing track. Anyway, Darren.
Yeah,
you do have another person that has been
amazing.
Waiting for a while.
Kevin,
and
you want to listen to the... Now, he's doing a show about the book that's the guide to the horizon?
No, well, that'll be part of it. But
okay.
Kevin came out with the companion series book, which is the guide to the Horizon Oracle. And it's much more detailed and much more specific.
I love hearing his descriptions of it, rather than being kind of cast adrift with it myself. So I would like to listen to that. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And he will. He'll explain them, and it'll be a companion series show.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the last caller, when you were saying don't take action with the lawyers, reminded me of Kevin's gliding card, which gliding is just let this happen. Let those things go on. And then you do what you have to do. It's literally a card of birds gliding along. Go with the trend, go with the wind, but don't be signing those papers and getting involved with the drama and all that. Let this sort of glide past. At least that's intuitively a card that came to my mind that's in his deck about the last
call. Don't lock horns with that situation.
Exactly. Don't be the ram.
Right. Right.
And that's the card associated with the time, 111, the gliding card.
Mm-hmm.
And his detailed book also has companions, as it says. It actually has a couple of cards paired together and how, not only individually, but how he views them together, even elemental associations, which he never did before. So he's combining it with a little bit more, maybe, older esoteric occult knowledge with the wisdom of the old and the new combined, maybe a little more now than in the past.
Oh, there it is. That's cool.
So it's a pretty good guide. It's definitely the best one that I've seen of the other ones written, and I think he did a really good job. And the logo is great. It's the word Horizon Oracle with a great shadow underneath of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of the same thing, yeah, the looking logo.
I'm glad to see that he's spending, you know, a little more time on it and fleshing it out a little bit. I think that's great.
I was impressed. I was. I'll admit. I was impressed. Now we have 202 on the line. Darren?
Okay.
Welcome, 202. And then Ellen99 is after 202. 202 is still spinning.
This
on the air.
Jen. Hi, this is Jen.
Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Darren.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm amazing. I'm amazing.
I'm glad to hear it. I want to let you know I got the job you said that I was going to get.
Hooray!
Oh, really?
That's a confirmation. I like that.
That's good. How do you feel about that?
Good. It's a relief.
Have you started yet, or am I not yet?
No, not yet. I start on the 2nd.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. Well, you can gear up for all that new energy, and that's a positive. Fantastic. Do you have a question this evening?
Yes, please. Very simple question. Just
does
wanted
the question have to do with fairy portals?
No, sorry.
Okay, all right, that's okay. Go ahead with your
question.
Now, the last time I asked that, someone was like, well, actually, my friend. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, wow, all right. Okay, but you never know. I got to at least try.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's your question?
Okay, I have a friend that's overseas, and I texted him on Wednesday, and I just wasn't sure if it made it through or not, if he got it or not.
Okay. Overseas, or like way out there?
Yeah, overseas.
Okay, all right. Orange or red?
Red.
Red. All right, Jenica sent a text. She wants to know if it made it across the ocean. Okay, one moment. Okay. Yes, but someone is a little bit busy right now. And they don't know what's going to be happening in the next couple of days or the next, like, 3 to 4 days. So when they get that situated and they're a little bit more relaxed, then they will be contacting you.
Okay.
They don't know.
Great.
I'm getting the Three of Wands inverted, and it just means I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what the next stage is, and I really better figure this out or I'm going to be up the creek without a paddle.
Gotcha.
So that's what that means. The next card I got is the Temperance card, which means you need to just relax and be patient.
I'm good with that now.
Yeah. You got a new job. The Temperance card, this one shows Alofi, the high god of the Orishas, and then a rainbow just coming out of his head. So just this beautiful rainbow of patience and virtue and positivity. So please, please, own your rainbow. Be positive. Someone's a little crazy right now. So they'll get a hold of you. They did get the message, but it's also, you know, sometimes people can't talk unless they don't know what to say, and if they're going crazy, they don't know what to say.
Right.
And then they can't even explain what it is because you don't know anything about the situation.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So what do you even say?
You know,
if I was getting mauled by 3 polar bears, and it's because I took this job as a polar bear trainer, and you called me and you're like, hey, Darren, what's going on? And I'd be like, yeah, I can't talk right now. I wouldn't be like, well, actually, I'm getting mauled by these 3 polar bears. I took this job as a trainer, had no experience, and I fell down on top of the big bin of, ribeye steaks, and now I'm getting mauled. So it's very uncomfortable, but I've had better days. Yeah. No, that wouldn't be. I'd be like, I'll call you later.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what we're looking at with this person.
Okay.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's certainly not nothing scary about this situation. Just crazy busy.
Except for polar bear.
Polar bear situation.
But they're cute as well.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
And have a good evening.
Thank you, you guys too.
Okay, bye.
All right, and now, and thank you very much to it too. Very friendly. I like the energy.
I like the energy too. It's very friendly.
Ellen 99, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air with Darren Bucare. Is your name actually Ellen? Or?
It's actually Ellen, yes.
It is actually. I didn't know if that was like a code name or...
Agent 99 from Maxwell Smart, I think.
Right, maybe that was like a secret, you know, okay.
It was pretty, I remember her.
Have you had any experience with doorways into a magical land or anything of that nature?
Actually, no. It would be nice, though.
Right, wouldn't that be terrific? Now, here's the thing, I've been asking everyone that's calling, so... I've gotten two responses that were, yes, I have. So how about that? I don't know. I'm just poking out there. And then I am getting some stories here, so this is good. But so you're saying you haven't, you know, been through a magical portal or anything. Do you have a question for us tonight or for me? Or?
Sure, I do. I do want to say that I was attracted to listening to your show tonight because of the topic of the Fae. I can't say I've ever met them, but I would like to. And actually,
have you had a feeling about them at all, or any?
Not really. I sometimes have had feelings about trees being animated by spirits, but not the fae. Because I don't. How would you describe what I'm talking about regarding the tree? Like some trees are friendlier than others. I know that may sound odd, but there's like some.
Well, I think some trees have an inert energy that's just there.
Yeah.
And some trees even may have some sort of oddly arcane or menacing. But some trees have a very vibrant, warm, welcoming energy.
Yeah.
There's a tree that we have. We almost moved into this old mansion. Like, you know, they had an apartment available. It was kind of run down. But they have a tree out front, and it's like a fairy portal. It looks like I wish I would have sent you this picture, Daniel Mike. We could put it on the homepage. But the people put little eyes on it, and a nose, and a little hat on the front of it, and then underneath where the mouth would be is this big like hole that looks like a portal for fairies to kind of run in and out of. And that tree has like the best like wondrous welcoming energy. It's like crazy, and it's not because of the little eyes and stuff they put on it. It's just you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can totally feel it.
You can see trees next to each other, but one tree will have a lot more bird's nests than the other. And it can't be location because they're, like, right next to each other or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why does one tree get, like five nests when you know that one of those birds could have had the whole other tree, but they don't want to be over there. They want to be on the other tree.
Yeah.
So that's always interesting. Did you have a question for us tonight about...
Yeah. What did you pick up regarding a work change or career change?
Okay. So you're wondering if you would like one, or you're wondering if it's a possibility, or...
I would like one.
Okay. Prospectively, you would like one. Okay. Orange or red?
Orange.
Orange, okay. All right, so Ellen would prospectively like some new vibrancy, some new energy in the professional area. Let's see what we got here. Hold on. Right now I'm getting some stuff about the moon and the emperor inverted. But my spirit guide said something about you either taking some sort of, not a long commute, but a kind of a short hippity-hop sort of commute, maybe be about a half an hour away, and that will open up a lot of corridors for you. However, what more concerns me is this moon and this emperor upside down. Who's a patriarchal or administrative male force in your life that's kind of, is there a controlling element to that? Is that your job now, or...
It might be, yes. And actually, okay. What you said about the commute, that sounds wonderful. One of the things I don't like about my current position is that it is a long commute. It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, this just seeming like a half an hour, and it may be an area that you're not as savvy with, but it hasn't occurred to you to look in that area. I'm saying look in that area. And it seemed like a relaxing commute. It seemed like it's just very passive and relaxed. Now, this administrative, when you get the emperor inverted, it's tyrannical, okay? This is someone that just abuses his authority because he's either just used to it or he thinks that's the way things should be done. This is someone that doesn't really dig into other people's personalities and empower them to get it done themselves. This is someone that might be micromanaging, that may be a little heavy-handed with things. This is what also concerns me, is that, Ellen, you're getting the moon upside down, which your spirituality is vibrating on. How well are you sleeping, is my question. And if you're closing your eyes before you go to bed, and are you seeing, like, flashy images and stuff?
That I am, yes. The last thing,
okay.
For my sleep, it varies. Sometimes I will be sleeping 9-10 hours a night, and then other times I have problems sleeping only like 6 hours.
You need to guard. You need to say a prayer before you go to bed because your receptors, your psychic receptors are very open right now. And to get the moon inverted, I'm concerned about you getting any sort of negative happenings or anything like that. That's a scary. When the moon's inverted, you get weird things happen that are a little bit haunting or weird. This is the dark time of the year. You know, energy can get a little bit heavier. So before you go to sleep, just say a prayer to whatever sort of incarnation of God, Jesus, St. Michael, Diana, something protective, something strong, someone strong. You know, if you're pagan, do not pray to Aphrodite to protect you while you're sleeping. That's not in her interest to do so. I would pray to Athena, pray to Zeus, pray to, one of the first prayers I ever said in this respect was when our house was haunted, when I first, I think it was my second apartment, but I had two female roommates and we had this spirit running up and down the hallway, boom, 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 all the time. And he would get in my dreams. So I got this book and it would say that there's a prayer to Ceridwen, where she'll stay with you over the course of your dream, and she will be there as a guide and as a protector. And believe me, and I used to have to drink like a six-pack or, you know, at least three beers to go to bed. Now I was 20 years old or whatever, but I'd say that prayer before I went to sleep every night, I was fine. And the thing is it programs your chakras to be really steeled against, you know, to be formidable against any sort of invasion. It also programs your subconscious to say, I don't want to leave myself open to any intrusion.
Okay, I'll do that. And I think I have figured out who that person is that you're talking about. And obviously, it didn't concern me. I had made up my mind I was going to be looking for something else, and I can just manage the way he is. I mean, he is that... You have correctly characterized them, but in the long run, it really doesn't matter.
You're letting some difficulties with this person keep you from looking into what your options are, okay? Sometimes when we meet a personality like this, our thought process, and it's our ego, is it wants to challenge them back and win some sort of battle of wills. And I'm telling you to cut loose of it so that way you don't have to worry about winning.
No, that's the way I feel. I agree. Cut loose. I'll just go elsewhere.
Cut loose of it. That way you don't have to win.
No, yeah.
Because even if you win, you're not going to win.
No.
Because he's not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. He's happy if he has total control. So that's never going to make you happy. And if you win, it's definitely not going to make him happy, so that you've reached an impasse.
Definitely.
People like this, I find, they don't want a troublemaker or somebody that's going to rock the boat. They want, you know, everybody to be on board with whatever sort of BS system they have implanted that's not fair.
And if there is somebody that makes waves, then they're going to single them out and make their life more difficult, unfortunately.
Yeah. I agree with your reading of this person entirely, but can you give me further insight regarding what's coming next, the next opportunity?
One moment. Yes. Well, this came up for a reason. Hold on. Your ideas need to be the format for how you're going to build this next career. The move you make, it shouldn't be lateral. You cannot be a functionary. You have to use your own ideas. The hangman inverted means you're not supposed to put yourself on the cross for the next situation. So it can't be clerical. It can't be anything where you're just doing it somebody else's work. You need to create. You need to be the idea person.
Mm-hmm.
And not sacrifice. In whatever way the energy goes, you cannot sacrifice for whoever you're working for next. You have to be an equal player that's bringing a lot to the table who's respected.
Yeah. Those type of positions are not that easy to find, but that is what I have in mind, yes.
Yeah, so what you do is look at your resume and say, okay, how do I tweak this? Where's my work experience that reflects what I want, and how do I highlight that? And then who do I email this resume to? And then how do I follow up on those emails?
Mm-hmm.
And you take that train half an hour out, or you drive a half an hour out, and you visit these places, and then you make yourself you put a face to the resume, and you just own that energy, because your energy is getting kind of pressed down. You're a vibrant person that's being kind of pushed, repressed energy. So when you get out of that loop and start to be vibrant again, people are going to notice, and that unfortunately has to do with that moon upside down too, because then you start to have kind of weird, morose energy that kind of pulls sometimes oddball spiritual stuff too, can occasionally do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Okay. Now, when you start working, it's not going to be the easiest thing to do in the world, but you're not used to doing this sort of really amazing, sort of vibrant work. You're used to being handed more instructional stuff and replicating it. So it's not going to be easy, but you'll like the challenge, and it'll be rewarding.
I agree. No, I had a different career, and I was very motivated, self-motivated, mm-hmm. thriving, creative. And I changed careers, and what I'm doing right now is that transitional position. And so mm-hmm. I guess what they're telling me is that I no longer need a transitional position. I'm not going to go full speed ahead.
You got to own your energy. You got to own what you want. And what I'm telling you is that the Five of Wands is telling me that it's not going to be the easiest thing to do, is for you to raise the bar back into what you were doing or to become that person again. But it's certainly what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
That's all I'm happy to see that. That's good.
It is. It sounds wonderful.
I don't doubt in the energy I'm feeling, I don't doubt that it's going to come together. It may take about 2 months. And why? Because you had Tyrannosaurus asshole. Pardon me. Did I say that out loud on the radio? Yeah. You have that energy dealing with. And you have the moon. But you'll deal with the moon, I have no doubt. You just had to have somebody tell you that maybe you were having weird vibrations, and then you can deal with it. You just have to address it.
Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And I hope
you're welcome.
Back in 2 months and tell you how 100% right you are.
Oh, beautiful. I can't wait for it. Okay, thanks a lot, Ellen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, and she hung up, and then the next caller, Darren, is 410. Can you hear me? I felt like I lost signal for a second. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, no, I'm here.
Okay, 410, you're on the air.
Hi, Darren, this is Anna.
Who is this?
Anna.
Anna, hi.
Hello.
How are you tonight? Have you had an experience with any fairies or anything crazy like that?
I have not. I wish I could or have had, but I have not.
No, okay. Did you have a question for us tonight?
I do. I'm just wondering what you see coming up for me as far as relationship or love life.
Oh, okay. All right. Just one moment, Anna. Okay, so I'm going to look. Oh, orange or red?
Orange.
Orange. So something coming up as far as relationship-wise, take a look here. For Anna. Just one second. Oh, my. Okay. I just got the moon right set up. That's fine. Hold on one second. Okay. All right. So there's romantic energy afoot right now. There's, like, really positive, like, really mystical, very supernaturally, like, vibrational energy that wants to get you out and integrating with all sorts of dating possibilities. However, I'm getting some stuff about some of your energy is trapped in a past relationship a little bit. Okay, you get the Two of Cups inverted. You're still kind of releasing some of it. Are you still talking to this person?
No, and that's the thing. We had been dragging it on for 5 months, and I finally just cut off communication. So I was a little sad about
doing
it. Probably 2 weeks ago. I'm a little sad about having to do it, but I know it was the right thing.
It's still there. I got the Two of Cups inverted. And you just, look, you depended on each other right up till you stopped talking to each other. And when I just say depend, I mean emotionally. You know, you still confided in each other. You still shared that energy, and it was important. And now it's not there, and it's only been 2 weeks. So even though you say it was 5 months since you broke up, that was there till about 2 weeks ago. So this is my concern. I think that you should, and I guess I'm telling everybody to pray tonight. But I'm telling you to maybe say a prayer. Ask Archangel Michael to release you from this relationship to kind of let you move forward. There's going to be romantic stuff happening. I wasn't kidding about that. But it's going to be hard for you to embrace it and be present in the moment if you're, you know, still feeling. A lot of times when I see people, like, professionally at the store, I'll see that on their hand, because I can look at their hand, right? And on their hand, I'm an expert at a Ayurvedic palm reading. I can see, well, if you have a relationship line. And if you have a relationship line and there's no relationship, then that means you're holding on to somebody. So what I always say is that if someone's in your energy, when you meet somebody new, it'll be in your energy and someone will be able to sense it. Now, whether or not they want to pursue it or not, that's up to them. But, you know, it'll be hard for them to go move forward. Here's the thing. You have opportunities.
Well, and then you're right. You're right. I mean, someone's shown interest in me.
A lot of people don't have these opportunities. So in that case, I would say, well, work on it, spend some time, you know, figure it out. You have opportunities now, so I would maybe fast track it a little bit.
Okay. So do you feel
like
I did the right thing with my...
Do you kind of like him or what?
Yeah, I think he's interesting. I do feel an attraction there, but like you said, I have to, you know, release the other person, but... I mean, I feel like I did the right thing. I think it was the best thing to do.
Let me see. Hold on. I want you to get that other person, the old relationship, in your head, and I'm going to pick a card on it one second. Just one moment here.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help with a little closure for you. So. Okay, so let's check this out. Relationship.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think that you were unwilling to give him what he wanted. Okay? I'm going to say it's you and not him.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't mean you're the bad guy. It just means that you didn't have it to give. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it's just not you to be that person. Maybe he needs something that's just so, he needs so much that it's just unrealistic. And it for you, it's unrealistic. Now, mm-hmm. there may be somebody out there, there probably is, who is the exactly right person to kind of give him that, and that's fine, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you know that, and you can keep, you know, you're not, if you're not, you're the one who's not happy, actually. It
yeah.
might seem like you get into semantics, because I'm getting the Hangman inverted. So
mm-hmm.
it might get into semantics where it seems like, he's the one that's like, he's not happy because you're not doing what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that I don't think is going to change. That situation, mm-hmm. that dynamic, it hasn't changed and I don't think it will. So given that, you know, you definitely did the right thing and you don't really have a choice, you know, but to kind of move forward. And I hate to say that there, you know, other Christian will see and all that stuff, but You know when you're kind of, when you run in circles for 5 months kind of going over what your options are, I think then you kind of know the answers, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And so, I congratulate you on having, you know, some nice options and some ideas for the future, and I think that it's going to be good. The moon's romantic. Okay, not like my last caller. Moon upside down could be, oof, like, we don't know what's going on. But right side
okay.
up, it can be romantic, it can be spooky, it can be spooky in a good way, spiritual. So something romantic's happening. Go get this new guy and drop the hint that you want to go to some places that are creative or interesting, and I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised when you see what happens.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. All right, Darren, there's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay.
This will have to be a quick one, 414.
Hello?
Welcome, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you guys?
Doing
good.
Well, how are you?
I'm blessed.
Okay.
I was just wanted a quick reading of what you guys see. For me, my name is
okay.
Felicia.
Felicia, okay, cool. Just one moment. Orange or red? Orange or red?
Oh,
Felicia?
Orange.
Okay, all right, okay.
Sorry.
That's all
okay.
right. That's
okay. Running out of time. We got a minute.
We only have so much time. So. All right, here. Orange for Felicia. Just what's going on with Felicia? What do we need to know? You're trying to get out of this area of, like, dissatisfaction emotionally. There's a little bit of, you're picking up some vibrant energies that have to do with exploration and adventure. I'm seeing the Four of Cups inverted, and the Four of Cups inverted relates to this kind of being always looking for that next thing emotionally that's going to satisfy you. Why I'm seeing the transformation is you owning your emotional receptors and owning your spirituality and saying, okay, I want to be my own woman emotionally, and I also want to be my own woman spiritually. I need to rediscover my spiritual life, and I need to give myself what I want emotionally. And whether it's hanging out with your friends more or whether it's just being with that kind of person that just in a relationship makes you feel at ease, no matter what kind of job they have, no matter what, you know, what they do that wouldn't have seemed adequate, feed your emotions, feed your soul, because when you become that Queen of Cups, then you get the Fool. And the Fool goes off on a big adventure, doesn't care what the repercussions are, doesn't care. Have you wanted to move anytime soon?
Yes, I want to move.
You're going to, but
you've got to
be the Queen of Cups first. Listen, Felicia,
okay.
You've got to be the Queen of Cups. So here's your two cards to focus on. I got 23 seconds. Queen of Cups,
uh-huh.
And then you get the Fool, and the Fool will get up and move and does not care. And we'll own their energy. We'll have plenty of money to do so. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm happy to see that for you.
All right.
All right. Thanks again, everyone, for calling Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Darren. Have a great evening.
You too.
Archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Ticky, 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 doo.